The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. A note about this morning's gospel. I'm going to read on several verses where the gospel ends on the back of your worship folder. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John testified, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah." He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The invitation to come and see comes in the form of a recommendation, usually from someone we know and trust, someone whose opinions we respect. Friends and family members will tell us, "You've got to come and see this new film. It's absolutely wonderful. It won an Academy Award. You've got to come and see it." Or people will say, maybe, "Have you tried that new Italian restaurant in Wallingford, Cantonenti's? Oh, absolutely delicious. You should come and see." Or maybe someone said to you once, "Hey, what are you doing Sunday morning? Maybe you should come to Queen Anne Lutheran Church and check out the worship service." Okay, nobody ever said that to you. And my guess is that you have never said that to anyone else either. And I think the reason for that is, we have such a difficult time recommending our faith community to someone because we internalize our faith. It's private, a private relationship between us and God. We like to keep God right here in our heart. That way, God is safe, I guess. Or we just sort of feel better when it's just you and me, God, you and me. If we are paying any attention at all to this morning's gospel reading from the first chapter of John, it is evident from the beginning that those who followed Jesus made it a point to tell others to come and see. Let's start with John the Baptist. There he was, standing on the banks of the Jordan River, giving an outdoor lecture to his disciples, at least two of them anyway. And right in the middle of his lecture on the evils of sin and the need to repent and be baptized, John sees Jesus coming. He stops mid-sentence and says, "Look, here he comes, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus was, in John's view, a sin eater, maybe the first sin eater. Are you familiar with that term, sin eater? Probably not, unless you're from the British Isles. I know that term from one of my favorite authors and poets, Thomas Lynch. A sin eater is a spiritual leader who uses a ritual to cleanse the dying from their sins. The sin eater absorbs their sins, goes to the dying person and literally absorbs their sin. You know how they do it? They open up your refrigerator, they sit down and they eat. That's how they do it. And then they charge you a fee for it. That's why they're called sin eaters. The sin is usually consumed through food and drink. So you get two things. You get paid and you get to eat and drink and comfort the one who is dying and his or her kin. As you might well guess, because I know you're already thinking this, sin eaters were considered outcasts. Their work was usually, not always though, considered unsavory, and it usually led to them being banished. In fact, the church would eventually excommunicate sin eaters. It seems that they were infringing on the territory of priests who wanted to do last rites. Sin eaters sound like some kind of con artist, a scammer who preys on the vulnerable when a loved one is dying. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. This is the guy, John shouts. This is the one I've been preaching and teaching about. Why, I saw the Spirit from heaven descend upon him like a dove and remain. This is the Son of God. The next day, when John was standing with two of his disciples, once again Jesus walked by. Once again, John said, "Here is the Lamb of God." And upon John's testimony, you might even say his recommendation, two of John's disciples, Andrew and the unnamed disciple, started to follow Jesus. And when Jesus noticed they were following him, he turned toward them and said, "What are you looking for?" Something like maybe the sales associate would say to you at Nordstrom's or Macy's, "May I help you? What are you looking for?" Their reply was curious. It was a question. They asked Jesus, "Where are you staying? Holiday Inn, Best Western, Motel 6, where are you staying?" You can tell a lot about a person by where he or she chooses to stay when they travel on the road. Jesus simply turns to them and says, "Come and see." What kind of answer is "come and see"? Is this some kind of trick? Remember those barkers who stand out tents inviting you to come and see the bearded lady and the sword swallower? I really wanted to do it. It wasn't that I was cheap. It was just that I felt that maybe I was going to get scammed. You know that feeling. Perhaps Andrew and the unnamed disciple thought they were going to get scammed. But they followed anyway. Andrew first, though, went to tell his brother, Simon. "Si, you probably aren't going to believe this," he said, "but we found him, the Christ." Simon, who had a proclivity for being impulsive, immediately followed his brother Andrew, his older brother's lead. And when Andrew brought Simon to Jesus, Jesus took one look at Simon and said, "You don't look like a Simon to me, you look like a Peter. From now on, you shall be called Peter." Pretty smart move by this Lamb of God, this sin eater, giving somebody a new name. When you give someone a new name, it changes them completely, it really does. and Simon Peter would be changed forever. Think of it like baptism. Once you're baptized, you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to you. If you don't think that's going to change you, well, think again. Remember St. Paul, who wrote, "In baptism we are united with Christ in a death like his, so that we might be raised with him in a resurrection like his." The next day, the evangelist John tells us, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. When you are the Lamb of God, a sin eater, it's never a good idea to hang around in one place too long. Jesus gets to Galilee. Here he finds a fellow by the name of Philip. You see a pattern developing here. No one finds Jesus. Jesus finds you. When he finds Philip, he says to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Peter's brother Andrew, is definitely curious, but he's not going to do this stuff alone. So Philip has a good friend, someone who's really smart, who studies these religious things like sin eaters. So Philip seeks out his friend Nathanael and says, "We found the one whom the law and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus. He's the son of Joseph, the carpenter from Nazareth." Nathanael is more than just a little skeptical. He's downright insulting. "Seriously, Phil? Seriously? San Francisco? I mean Nazareth? What good can come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth had a reputation for being a hotbed of political radicalism. That's a really polite way to say Nazareth was a haven for scam artists, con men, and traveling salvation shows selling the elixir of heaven, watered down versions of the balm of Gilead. Phil's reply to Nate was an echo of Jesus' words to Andrew and that unnamed disciple. "Come and see," Phil tells Nate. "Come and see. Come and see for yourself the Lamb of God, the sin eater who takes away the sins of the world. Come and see." Of course, if we were to say to someone, "Come and see the Lamb of God, the sin eater who takes away the sins of the world," our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, even our family members would begin to wonder if we were a few fries short of a happy meal. You think anyone would come and see? I said it earlier, I'm going to say it again. People who follow Jesus today often internalize their faith, privatize their relationship with God. We keep it inside. How is it that you can keep good news inside of you? How is it? We can't wait to tell someone. We've gone to a brand new restaurant. We've had a fabulous meal. We got to tell someone right away. Good news cannot stay within us. Good news has to get out. Come and see. Giving away the good news of Jesus is what it means to confess Jesus as the Son of God, which is exactly what John the Baptist said. This is the Son of God. We are comfortable with saying that in church, in the creeds, but how comfortable are we saying that even to one another, much less outside of this building? Calling others to consider confessing Jesus as the Son of God is part of our calling in baptism. The Reverend Derek Manson, the pastor of a Baptist congregation in New Brunswick, he wrote this about evangelism in a sermon that he published on the web. "We are not called to be evangelistic superstars. There is only one Billy Graham, there is only one Paul the Apostle. God spreads the good news primarily through ordinary people like you and me. The people we talk to, our neighbors, our families, the other parents who bring their kids to soccer. John's teaching and preaching on the banks of the Jordan, Andrew going to get his brother Peter, Philip going to tell his best friend Nathanael, were all acts of confessing. Each of us has this good news. You don't even have to say his name. You don't have to tell the world that he is the Lamb of God or a sin eater. Although I will tell you that if you say sin eater in some circles, people are truly captive to it. The fact is, you simply have to invite them to come and see. If you opened up the back of your bulletin this morning, you know that there is a number of things that happened in this faith community that you can invite someone to come and see. Let's just start with Wednesday evening, jam. Invite them to come and see. Fabulous dinners cooked by a chef, Storm Hodge. Come and see. There's a group here that talks about faith in film. Come and see. You're looking for a youth group, something for your son or daughter to do? Lutheran Youth of North Seattle, come and see. Take a look at that. Evangelism isn't simply telling people about the Lamb of God, the sin eater. It's inviting people to come and see. You want to come and see with me? That's what you want to say, especially if you haven't participated in any of those things. What a great idea, right? I'm going to go, but I'm going to invite somebody to go with me. I understand there's this group. They eat dinner. They talk about all kinds of movies and spiritual things. Come and see. You want to go with me? I know some people who quilt. You quilt. You want to go? Come and see. Come and see starts with you, with your invitation like that of Jesus to Andrew and the unnamed disciple, like Philip to his best friend Nathaniel. Come and see. What could it possibly lead to is a come and see invitation. Well, it could possibly lead to the Lamb of God. It could possibly lead to the sin eater. It could possibly lead to healing and perhaps peace in a way that a person has never known. Compassion or reconciliation, gracefulness, prayer. Come, come and help us with this thing that we do twice a year. We invite mothers, homeless mothers and children to live in our basement. Come and see, come and see. Come and see the Lamb of God who serves the meal of bread and wine, who takes away the sins of the world, yours and mine. We are all sin eaters in Christ. If you don't believe that, come and see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.